Across the Desk with Clement Magnatella on 702.
So on our Across the Desk feature this morning, I'm hosting people that I remember rushing home after school to watch. And it was just fascinating watching how incredible they were. They were so young, but they were so smart. And we just loved watching them on your TV. And they have grown and they're doing incredible things now. And I just want us to understand their journey, right, of being child stars, of just transitioning, you know, having that kind of influence, the popularity in the beginning and becoming adults, and how that has been. And I'm so glad that we've got Sipho Ngwenya, who's also known as Sipho, in studio with us. And we have Dineo and Chabeleng as well. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for coming through.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you guys good?
We're good.
Very good.
You guys have grown. And I know that's weird coming from also someone like who's probably your age. Am I your age?
How old are you?
I don't know. You turned 40 the other day.
No, 31, brother. What's wrong with you?
I remember him posting, wait. Why are we exposing each other here?
But look at that. I mean, you still look the same.
I get 12 a lot. So I'll take 12.
Come on.
And you do?
I'm forever 16. So I don't mind all the compliments, you know, keep them coming.
Yeah,
but we are grown, man. I think it's weird hearing someone else say it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, life moves. And Sipho is like a whole dad and a husband and a whole mom. You know what I mean?
Mom, so whole dad.
This is crazy, guys.
I want you guys to understand my context here.
Okay.
I used to watch you guys literally back then when you guys were like so young. And I was like, oh, these guys are so amazing. And I didn't understand how smart you guys were.
Were we smart, Sipho?
Oh, you were incredibly smart.
You know, I think maybe smart is a bit of a reach.
No, but
I know you guys are smart. Come on.
No, man. I think as kids, you're inquisitive, right?
Yeah.
And I think that because of that, we tend to stretch ourselves even more.
Yeah.
Right. And because as kids also, you are more creative, right?
True.
The older you get, the less creative you become. So because we didn't have those boundaries, I think it made us seem smart.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the kids now, I mean, my son is already playing with my phone and he's like 18 months. It's crazy.
And he already knows how to navigate that.
You know what I mean? So it's exposure, right?
So, but I think the reason why it looked like that to us is because I didn't understand television. Like, I didn't know an auto cue is. You guys had auto cue at the time?
Yeah.
Did you?
I had auto cue. Yeah.
I didn't have.
Yeah.
When I was doing Blue Couch with Byron, we had scripts. We had
Did you memorize like those intros?
Yes. And our show was like hectic because it was like more of an informative.
Yeah.
Type of show, educational, and so like we had to get in big chunks of English and like get it right and make it sound so natural as well. And I think what Sipho is saying is very true. It's so much easier when you're younger to kind of catch on to things, latch on to things, and be molded easier, you know. So it was easier to do certain things real quick. I mean, now when I think about it, now when I'm sitting alone, I'm like, that was so insane. Like, how would you even memorize a whole 2-3 pages? But it was so much fun. We did it with ease. I think also just like the environment that we had at that time. Look, for me, presenting, I started on your TV and on school TV, but the environment at your TV was always so much more fun because it was young people also that were producing. So it was never really too intense where everyone was just like, oh my God, this is too much. No, it was really nice. And I think the environment allowed for everyone to express themselves how they want to. You know, no one was the same. Everyone was individual and creative in their own way. And I think that was what made that era of television, especially kids' television, so memorable.
Okay, let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
When did you start in television? Was your TV your first game?
You're going back to my age again, right?
Yeah, you are. Just hello.
Okay, look, I started very, very, very young, right? I started on Kiddio Pops.
Kiddio Pops.
This was a show on Kiddio. Remember Mr. Chinwag and all that, right? So this was in 1996.
I was five years old.
Yeah, you don't know how old I was. But anyways, so that was my first gig. So it was basically a show where I had to present and sing.
And sing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're a singer also, so I suppose.
Is that where the music thing came from?
Clearly.
Not really. I think that was just my mom's inspiration.
Really?
Is it?
Yeah.
Hectic.
Okay, so and how were you? Like, was it your mom? Did you go to auditions? How
Funny
did it come
story.
About?
I love telling the story, but yeah, my brother doesn't like hearing it. But nonetheless, my brother actually is the one who wanted to get into presenting, right? And we used to watch KTV back then. And he was like, hey, man, I want to give this thing a shot. So I remember some random afternoon, I was just tagging along. Kanti, they're going to an agency to get enrolled, right? So I was just also there. And apparently I was this talkative child. And the lady who was, you know, who owned the agency thought I was the one who wanted to join.
You were also a professional kid, no?
Yeah, correct.
Yes, was that
yes,
an agency?
Yes,
that
yes.
was like the Back kids, then, yeah. the kids agency. Yeah.
Wow. So I she gave me like my first shot. In fact, I think about like a week after joining Professional Kids, she sent me into this audition, which was for Kidio. And when I was only meant to sing. And then when I got there, they also threw a script at me and said, please, you know, read these couple of lines. And the next thing I know, I'm presenting the show and singing. So
that's cool.
That was my first lucky break, yeah.
Amazing. And then for you?
Yo, me, like, you know what? People, like, they're probably going to think I'm being pompous, you know? But, like, I mean, honestly.
You're a star from 2 years old.
You know what? And I actually forgot them in the car. I wanted to bring you my first, because I was going through, like, my old stuff. My mom is, like, hectic on keeping stuff. So I was trying to figure out what I did first. Was it television or print media? And it was actually print. So my first print media ad I did when I was 7.
Crazy.
For like this other camera, we won't mention names because they're not paying us.
Yeah.
so we did a whole print media thing for this camera people. And then after that, what I found that was in South Africa was my first true love print commercial, which was in 2000. So I was about like what? 7, 8. Yeah.
Already on true love. Look at you.
Just taking covers and everything.
You know? Cover girl.
But honestly, shame. I don't even think I understood at that time what was happening, because my whole thing was I was one of those talkative kids as well at school, and I had this really great teacher. I'll never forget her, Mrs. Smith. I hope she's still alive. That lady was so nice. So she was like, you know, I used to do I stayed fit. I don't know what they call it now when you like stand up and do like poetry.
They still have it,
and then you like compete against different schools and districts and whatever. So I had like cleaned them out. I was that girl. Like every time I come, they would just be like, ah, there she is again, going to make us bronzes. And we don't want bronze, we want gold. So she was just like, listen, I think you guys maybe need to do something with this girl, because she's cleaning out at Stedford. And I think it's more than just being on stage and doing poetry and dramatizing it. Go find her an agency. And then at the time, my dad had this friend who was working at the SABC. Bra Colin suggested some agencies. And that's how I ended up at Professional Kids. Met the owner of the agency. She loved me. She was like, what? We're going to make money. I was like, yes. Don't know what that is, but let's go. Let's go. You know?
I'm young
too. And then from there, it just went. Yeah. It was like a roller coaster. And then I, like, before I even got onto South African television or being on the map with South African television, I was doing international films, you know, which was very weird at the time, because yo, people from that side were coming to South Africa to shoot everything. So anything that you could think of at that time, they were coming this side to do it. So I was so lucky and fortunate to do, at least I think I did about 2 or 3 films before I actually started doing the presenting thing in South Africa.
And then joining Generations. How old were you when you joined Generations?
I think I was 9 when I went to Generations.
Guys.
Yeah, I was
learning,
9.
Learning lines.
Yo, and it was so hectic. Shame, I don't want to like sound like 9. Bad. It was so intense, because like I would go to school, and then like sometimes I have sports or I have other extramurals at school. I'd sometimes have to miss that and go to work and be at work until about 6, 7.
What do you know about reading lines at 9?
Yo, I was killing it, man. I was doing like 12 scenes a day. Like, I was even like, what am I doing? This is so crazy. And then I used to drink energy drinks. I think that's why also I just started like getting a bit
crazy.
Because I would just be like, somebody would be like, give her energy. She's looking like she's dying. And then they bring energy drinks in. Like,
how did you get into acting, Zeb? You were also in Generations at some point. Was that your first gig?
No,
acting gig.
I had done other acting gigs prior to that. Yeah. I mean, I'd done a few feature films, international stuff. I got into Generations. I think I was still on YoTV, kind of like being phased out. And this was in 2006.
You begin with the years.
Because I mean, I remember these things, right? And my agent called me and said, look, the guys at Generations, they would like to give you this role. But obviously you just have to go in and just read a couple of lines, et cetera, and see, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cause they said, you look like the character that they want.
Yeah.
I had these dreads, you know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so got tomorrow, cut a long story short, went to Generations, did my casting.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the next day they said, are you ready to work? And now the conflict was, I'm still on Yo TV. Mm. I haven't told my employer. And I was also producing the show at the time, right? So now I haven't even told my employer that, yo, I've got this gig.
And I gotta go.
Generations, and they want me like as in today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, of course it didn't go down well with Saki and Danny Ferreira at the time because I was working at Urban Brew Studios. But hey, man, it is what it is. So I had to move on. I think then they ended my contract on Yo TV, on Wild Room about 3 months after that, so that I could then focus full time on Generations, because I was one of the leads, right? I was on Generations for about 5 years up until the end of 2010. Then that's when they said, I know we've had enough of your character.
Bye-bye. Bye. Ajax. Yeah. That is so dope. How long were you on Generations for?
I mean, I kind of dribbled and drabbed the whole time. Mm. I was on for a good, from the age of 9 until I was about 14. Because when I started high school, I had a conversation with my parents. I was like, actually, you know what, guys? Like, I'm going to high school. Now it's getting real. I think I want to be a normal kid and try and do normal stuff, you know? And I was going to the National School of the Arts. Mm. So I was kind of having anxiety about how I was going to juggle being at an art school and also having to work. So when I started in grade 8, I stopped going full time, and then we kind of did the whole on call thing. So I'd come in and out. But the last time I was fully on, I think it was 2010.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when they brought you back.
When they were doing the whole killing Garabo and Dao, yes. I can't even remember. It was so confusing.
Yeah. Also, they got rid of me so that they could bring you back.
No, because it was the time that Oskoni was leaving or Rapulana was leaving. I can't remember who was leaving, but someone was trying to leave, so they needed to make it make
sense. Remember how shocked we were to see you grown like that.
It was crazy, right?
It was crazy, she was like this. And then look at her now.
Yeah.
How did you guys deal with, popularity at that age? Because, I mean, it's one thing to be popular as an adult, because you know how to manage it, but in school, when you are in class, did you have classmates and schoolmates still treat you differently, or there was close focus and attention on you guys?
I think now that I'm older, and I think back on it, I actually realized how messed up it was. Because I think maybe when you're in it, you don't really take certain things to account. So now when I'm sitting, I'm like, actually, no, man, that teacher wasn't actually a very nice teacher to me. And I don't even know why, you know. I did have a couple of problems in high school, because I think it's weird. You know, you must remember that I think it's only normal for people to question something that they don't know. So if I am that kid that you see every day and you're growing up and whatever, now here I am in your space, even you as an adult, there are adults that get starstruck. You understand what I'm saying? Even though I was a kid, I still had people just be like, oh my God, I love you so much, you know, like grown people. So even in that space, I think I kind of needed to understand how it must have been shocking. Oh my gosh, this girl, she's here. You know what I'm saying? So even navigating myself in that space with my peers and also my teachers, because at some point I had one teacher tell me, yeah, this is not Generations. And I'm just where did we now jump on?
Are we fighting?
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
What a hater.
So, why are you hating? And I'm a kid at that time. But then I also needed to just kupula myself and be like, no, man, Muto, I think they're not used to seeing Batu like me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So let me not take it too personally. Let me just make it water off of a duck's back, basically. Yeah.
People are shocked on WhatsApp, by the way. They're like, are you telling me that's Angela from Generations? Ooh, yeah. Ukulele. She
the is original. Wrong. The
Uma,
original.
Mama Angela.
The original. Whole mother. Guys.
What about you? How did you manage that?
You see, I had no expectations. Because, also the way I got into it was by luck. So for me, it was just a normal thing. And I think at that age also, you don't quite have any of these preconceived notions of what fame would be like, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it was literally just a thing of also being guided by the right people, right? Mm. So my first director on KU Pops, I remember her telling me that, you know, on set, you have to treat every single individual with the same amount of respect that you give me, right? From the cleaner to whatever. So that prepares you when you go out in the outside world, right? You then have the same, when people are like, how are you, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You can still be a person.
You can be level-headed about it, right? What also helped, I think, was also going to the National School of the Arts. You are there now, you know, as a teen, with other teens who are also in it for the same, you know, talented. For the same reason, yeah. right? They want to be dancers, they want to be actors, they want to be artists. So it's all of us now. Mm. There isn't that thing of like, oh, this is
I'm better than you. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? In fact, the pressure is more there because now you have to prove your talent, you know, in your craft. It's not a thing of like you now competing with other kids in ordinary schools. Here, you are dealing now with a bunch of very, very talented people, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think for me, having good morals, having a good, like, you know, solid structure at home, in the lessons that you're told before you leave the house, that really helps in how you navigate through the madness.
How did you deal with, like if you fail a grade or you fail an exam? Because people, when they see you like that, it's like you must be beyond reproach, be perfect, you can't fail, you can't...
I didn't have a chance to fail. Both my parents are teachers by profession.
Mm. Hectic.
Yeah, so for them, it was I get it, you said you wanted to do this. Mm. Yeah, but now this for us is important. So even when I come back from studio or wherever, I'd be sitting in my room doing my homework. Because for them, it you are the child here. So the work stuff, the TV stuff, that stays outside. But here in this house, no one's going to go to bed without doing their homework, without making sure projects are done. Is the uniform out for tomorrow? I still had normal kid things to do at home. Mm. And also, I think for them, they kind of put extra pressure to make sure that I understand that failing is not an option, because already you're scrutinized on a daily. You understand what I'm saying? So don't give anybody else more ammunition to want to break you down any further. And I think that helped me. That helped me a lot because it was easier to just kind of like focus my energy on what I needed to do, you know? I understood there's a time for this and there's a time for that. And school was important, you know? School was important. Although now that I think about it, like, actually we were working. NSA was hectic. Mm. NSA was hectic. I think even just like the schooling system, how it was set up, it was really intense. You know, you have your normal classes and your normal subjects, but then from a certain time to a certain time, it's you and you need to go. You need to now go into your drama classes for a good 2-3 hours. You're there in theater. You need to go to the music department. You're there for 2-3 hours. So school already was just so intense that there was no way you could slack at all.
Who was getting paid? You guys or your parents?
No, your parents, right?
Because also, I mean, you and I, you didn't have bank accounts at the time.
No, I did. I mean, I had a bank account when I was 12, right?
Okay.
Yeah, also,
you could open it. At 12?
Yeah, but my mom, obviously, was the person receiving the funds on my behalf. Mm. And then she'd give me, like, a small nyana pocket money just so I can get by.
I love that. She gets paid and she's like, pays you, like, just take some pocket money.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine what you could do with that kind of money, right? Yeah. I mean, firstly, it's not legal. Yeah. Right, you can't get paid at that age, right? Mm. So your guardian or your
parents were bawling, eh?
I wonder because I mean, no, my mom was a housewife, so I wonder what she did with the other money. No jokes, but
I think for me, money, I had to learn certain things about money quick, fast. So, like, if I wanted something, it's not that I wouldn't get it. I just needed to have proper reasons for why I wanted it. Because I remember when I got home this one time, they had just taken out cell phones, Motorola, talk about the... Mom, saw this phone, so pretty, it's purple. She was like, why? I'm like, no, but, you know... And she's like, how much is it? So now I need to sit. Now I need to go back. I'm like, okay, it's this much, but I want this, I want that. Now she's telling me you got a budget. Because if I'm giving you this much, what's your budget? Mm. Now you want a phone, you want this, you want that. You can't get everything at the same time. So I think also that understanding of money and what it needs to do was cool. Did they spend it? Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're a family. we had to do things together. Of course, yeah. We had to have nice times. I mean, and I honestly don't think I would have wanted to spend it with anybody else but them that time, you know, because they were major, major support for me.
Okay. Let's go to some calls. 011-883-0702. I'm going to ask you guys to put on your headphones so we can hear what the people are saying. Let's start with the WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. What Cypher is saying right now with the issue of respect, I mean, looking at him way back then in television, that thing oozed out. I remember him, you know, he never used to call a television crew by name. He would always say auntie or uncle. I still remember that very, very, very vividly. So, yeah, that thing of respect definitely oozed out. And can they tell me that Snack Attack thing?
Oh my
so many ingredients. I mean, the removal of Shane, the trial with a Snack Attack, and then you don't have pickles, and you wonder, get in the pickles. I mean, it was not realistic, that Snack Attack thing.
Hey!
Oh my goodness.
But that was so popular, hey?
Yeah, look, I tell you something, right? My boss at the time, Freddie Lowe, a genius. When we came up with that concept, look, by the way, it won't work now because of, you know, there's too many things that are happening on the continent. But nonetheless, it was a creative way of us engaging with the audiences, right? Mm-hmm. And I think where it stems from is, again, the creativity part of it, because you have kids who want to learn how to cook or want to learn how to make something to eat. Mm. And kids will surprise you, right, with the things that they throw on the table. And then obviously there's the entertainment value part of it, right? So we have to get a laugh somewhere out of it. But yeah, I'm glad it actually made people frustrated or made people laugh or cry or whatever.
Yeah, it was always so messy in studio after Snack Attack.
Poor floor managers who had to clean up after us.
It was crazy. Oh, Bralefty. Oh my God.
They had a lot. Here's another one.
Clement Manyatela. We have the why, cause it's fly, work for the all for you.
That's old.
My one that is for me. And we say, yo, it's your TV.
That is
so cool. Jay says, Clement, it's good hearing Dineo and Sipo talk about their journeys in the industry and where they are now. Please say hi to Angela there for me. Do people still call you that? Like when
people
you're out and like,
still
Angela!
Call me that. And it's so weird because I'm just like, guys, I was on so many other shows after that. But I get it. I think at that time, that's something that will stay with everyone. You know, when people are doing something very different that is like monumental, it will stay, you know. And I think it did irk me a bit in the beginning, and then afterwards I was like, no, actually, let me just own it, you know, because I was calling Kibo Karabu
everywhere. I was calling him as never
you
ever tell us
to call you everywhere. You understand what I'm saying?
Will always be
Achi.
I mean, there's even an ad. Right.
You get what I'm saying? Yes, and I think maybe like the moment I started just understanding, it's okay. Yeah. Maybe it's my second name. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's fine. Let's keep it moving. It made life easier, you know, because I think it also just goes to show how long people have been watching you work. Because if you're out here calling me Angela, I know you know me from back in the day. You know me from when I was a tweenini girl who could not even articulate.
We didn't know what a tequila shot is.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Totally.
Across the Desk with Clement Manyatela on 702.
It's 23 minutes before 11 o'clock on Across the Desk this morning. We've got Sipho Ngwenya and Dineo Ntshabeleng. We've been just understanding their journey as people that we started watching when they were really young. And look at them now. I want to take your calls now and WhatsApps 011-883-0702. Let's start with Kolegile, who's calling us from Cape Town. Kolegile, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning.
Hi, Siapila Baba. Good morning.
Yes. Sipho, Sydney, Sidwell.
Sydney? You want to see Sidwell? Sidwell.
Sidwell. Sidney, Sipho. Wow.
Exactly.
Guys, I've just checked out your Instagram. I was watching your Instagram, and that is our new bar, we'll say 702. Yo, thank you first of all to E702 for bringing you guys to studio and on air. Guys, nilangapi, I'm 35 this year. this interview is reminding me back of my youth days.
Yeah.
Back in the days, I've grown up with you guys. And one thing that I like and I respect about, especially Ngawe when I sip, is in general, I think there was a caller that called in or a WhatsApp that was played about irrespect. You've always shown your respect throughout the minyaka. We've never seen you, even till today. So now at Dineo, it's just that I don't follow you a lot, but ndiyakubona ngoku usipho ajike ifone ayizise kuwo ke Instagram kubanta nene kubanka nene. I know that face. you haven't changed, guys. You're still the same Dineo, the same Sipongwenya. Guys, ndiyanthanda man, thank you for bringing us up. Nani sikhule nani singabanye.
Amazing. Kolegile in Cape Town. Thank you. Zama says, Clement, I don't think she'll remember this, but one time Dino asked me where a certain lecture hall was at Vets. I think it was her first day there. I kept my cool and gave her directions, but inside I was losing it. Did you go to Vets?
I did.
She's got the age.
Hey, don't you dare. Forever 16, okay?
That is so funny. Like, imagine someone asking you where the lecture hall is, and inside they're like,
"I know, that's the thing. Like, that can happen to anybody. You know what I'm saying? That can happen to anybody. It's your first time being on a campus is huge.
Yeah.
And I think also me, in those moments when things like that happen, I don't even think about it, you know? I'm literally just like a normal person who's lost and asking another person for directions. But then afterwards, I'm just like, yo, that person, the eyes were big. I don't know what happened. Were they choking? But it's cool that people remember such moments and it's never weird. You know what I mean? I was at an audition actually the other day when we're speaking about stuff like this. I was at an audition the other day and there was like some gokos that were coming to audition for something else. And then when I came in, you know, like naturally you greet, dumelang, dumelang. So, I go in, I get my form, I get my number, I sit down. This mama comes and she fetches me. She's like, yo, girl, I just want to have a chat with you. I was like, yo, mamzo, what's up, you know? She's like, no, you know, I was so waiting for you to see how you were going to react when you walked into the room. And the moment you greeted, like, I realized that you were everything I thought you were, you know, ever so humble, ever so sweet and whatever. And then in that moment, I also just got a bit taken aback because I was like, you know, I wonder why people would think we're like monsters or something, you know, especially if you've never met a person. I think it's weird that muto akau nakhanela to that extent. But then also in the same breath, I understand because it's easy to have perceptions of someone you don't know. And then when you meet them, it's like, you're actually, I was completely left field on what I thought.
Because celebrities, you know, are like, people see them as, we don't live in the same world. Like you are. Then we are here.
Very weird.
Which is why even they hold celebrities in different standards. Like there are certain things you can't do.
Yes.
Certain mistakes you can't. But, oh no, but I can make that mistake.
You know, when you speak of that, it was my grand's funeral in January. And look, that's my granny. I don't know how else to, you understand. So I was there. I was looking very, very embushled. Like I was running around. I was on flops. Dress, sweats, everything. I was up and down crazy. And then now I was there by the mamas that are dishing up. Someone is like, oh my gosh, what are you doing in there? And I'm like, yo, it's my granny's funeral. If I'm not going to dish up for you guys, who's supposed to do it? Like, in this moment, this is me being my mother's child.
Yeah.
This is me doing what I need to do for my granny. You understand what I'm saying? So it's stuff like that that make me a little like, oh, I really wish it wasn't like that. Because, you know, we go through the same things that any normal person goes through.
Absolutely.
You know, there is no difference between your hardship and my hardship. The only difference between you and me and your hardships and my hardships is that you get to see mine. I don't get to see yours. You know what I'm saying? So in that
but
moment.
I think I can challenge you there, though. Right? I think, yes, that's true for back then, where technology didn't have such an influence in terms of how we live our lives, right? These days, you can actually show people who you are, right? Through social media. And that's, of course, if you're not lying about yourself, right? So my Instagram, for instance, is very real. That's me. Like, I'll show you when I wake up in the morning in bed with my son there playing. I'll show you when I go, I don't know, fishing or whatever. I'll show you. You know what I mean? And this now makes me more it closes that gap, right? Where we are no longer there, as you say, but we're right here
in real time,
exactly, right? And then people can actually relate. They were like, "Oh, he actually lives in a house like mine. Oh, he actually drives a car like mine." You know what I mean? So there's no real difference there. The only difference is that I'm in a different profession.
And back then, to your point, is you're only reading about stuff, and it's like selective stuff. So it's not everything. But now at least you can choose what you put out there, and people can see that.
Sometimes I don't even want to put out anything. People are so mean.
Put out.
Hey, socials
are mean.
Put
out. The other day I went on to Twitter, I was like, guys, I'm scared of to the street.
But this is the thing, right? Because now when you do that, you're giving people the power, right?
Yeah.
Because when they don't know enough about you, then they start making up things about you.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I think it now also goes back to the media, right? Back then, the media used to have, maybe they still do relatively, right? But they don't have as much power in terms of creating an image of you to the public.
That's
because
true.
You actually now have the same tools that they used to do. So you now don't have to filter anything that they used to filter.
I mean, people now don't even do interviews. They go tweet or do a video of themselves putting on Instagram to tell their story. And then the media goes and gets it from there. Back in the day, it was talk to a journalist, media. Exactly. And then it ends up on whatever, Facebook.
So in a way, you can actually write that script for them.
Yes, you can. You right. own the narrative. Yeah. You lead the narrative. Let's go to some more WhatsApp voice notes.
Hi, Clement. It's William here from Durban. Yeah. You know, when I'm thinking of Sifo, there's a one scene that I remember on Generations that he did. It was with Kenneth Mashaba. And then he was like giving him a warning about his daughter. So it goes like this. He called him and said, "Khoza, o ka gopisha Grace, ke tla go phiatla jwale ka ntshi." That's my favorite line. And when I'm thinking of Sifo, that's the scene that I remember on Generation. So I just want to find out from him, did they understand the language that the other person speaks? Or is it maybe according to the script or as to what they know he's supposed to say? Thank you very much.
Because sometimes actors improvise, right?
Yeah, that's true. And someone like Kenneth Mashaba used to do that a lot. So sometimes he actually used to throw you off.
Because you're like, Ude, what did you say?
And look, you know, with all due respect, I don't understand his speedy that much, right? Because it can be quite deep, right? And his was very deep. So when he did, when we had these scenes, lucky for us, we also had the English translation, right? Mm. Which in a way doesn't really give you the real true essence of what he's saying, right? Mm. So now when you're rehearsing it, then you're like, okay, now it's real. That sounds even scary. He could be saying something so cool, and you're like, I'm in trouble
because the sound is so rough.
There's another one.
Good morning, Clement. It's Elias from Pretoria. Ah, Clement. Yo, you sound like you are in your TV. You are living the dream, man. But it's good to hear from Sifo. It's been a while. I haven't heard from him. It's been a while. But yeah, it's good to hear that the guys are still alive and giving lives.
Hello. Hi, Clement. Do you, Aishim? I think respect goes a long way. Besides being on TV, being an artist, but inhlonipho phambili. I'm really proud of you guys.
Wonderful. Speaking of being proud of you guys, what are you up to now? You just recently graduated?
Yeah, no, I had to go and do a lot of self-development. I really felt like, and this was all like kickstarted by my role coming to an end on Generations at the end of 2010.
Yeah.
Then I started my own business. I ran a record company and signing artists, producing artists. But then I felt like, you know what, I'm shortchanging myself here because the music industry is a business,
mm-hmm.
and I don't quite have the capability capabilities of running a business. Yes, I've got the passion and the drive to become an entrepreneur, but I really needed things to equip me so that when I do enter that boardroom, I'm able to converse in a language that is understood by all the people around that table, right? So yeah, I did go to business school. I got a marketing BCom degree. Then I got my master's last year. And I work for MultiChoice under the brand of Showmax. I'm no longer doing content in that way. I used to be a commissioning editor, but now I do more content operations, business operations, partnerships, business development, etc. Yeah.
Okay. You're a boss.
No.
Don't you want to hire me?
No, I'm not.
No comment. And you do?
I'm still acting, man. Yeah. I think I had to step back a bit from doing things that are very long form. You know, I think the older you get, there's certain things.
To the older you get.
Yeah. When you're 50. Yeah. I mean, well, 16. But I think I also just wanted to like kind of not box myself in. So moving out of the space of just being an actor was also something that I really wanted to try out. So I've been like doing some productions, you know, production work, production managing, or even co-producing, you know, and that's also just been such an eye-opener. Actually, before we came in here, we were having that conversation with Sipo, because I was just telling him, I was like, yo, you know, sometimes certain things will make you so scared to even try, you know what I'm saying? And our industry is very cutthroat. I mean, now you can see we're in a different era. It's not just about actors anymore or musicians. They are influencers.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. People are popping out of everywhere, you know? So I think it was important for me to also just kind of see where do I fit into this whole hierarchy of things, you know? So that's also been fun. I'm still acting, actually. My last movie actually won a SAFTA.
Congratulations.
For anybody who was doubting, please don't doubt, okay? This thing is real. We're not buying it. It's real. So that was also really nice. I think I've also just been so lucky to find people who are not scared of me in the sense that, oh no, if we cast her, she's going to be Angela. No. I think I've just been lucky to work with people who are just like, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? The crazier we can go, push the envelope, let's do it. Let's see how far we can do it. And I think that's also another thing that I'm starting to realize is so important. You're only as good as your last job.
Correct.
As an actor.
Correct.
So if I'm sitting here and I'm saying I need to compete with an influencer, I need to compete with a social media superstar or whatever, like where do I fit into this thing, you know? So if my last job was great, let's talk about that. You know, that will definitely bag you the next one. So we'll see. I mean, look, the sky's the limit at this point. Do I see myself making movies? Do I see myself doing it alone? No, because collaboration is key.
Do you think now acting is actually the first love? Do you even have... Sometimes I know it's unfair to ask, especially when you are also a musician, you've done presenting. Like, it's difficult to decide to be asked, what's your first love? Is it presenting? Is it... What is it for you? Have you found acting is now, this is my home?
I think acting has always been my thing, man. You know, I really did enjoy presenting because, I mean, I do dribble and drab in presenting from time to time. But I think for me, acting is always my first preference because of the fact that there's someone's story that you're probably going to tell. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always curious to see who's going to receive my work and what are they saying about my work. You know, I don't really watch television and I don't even watch myself. It's weird watching myself. So I never really know if something is good until someone says to me, yo, I caught you on whatever. And that was really dope. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Then it worked. You know, what I did happened and it touched somebody. So for me, I'll always enjoy acting because of that.
Amazing. Someone here on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, Cypher once dropped off his music at one of the SABC's stations as a program compiler. I was so starstruck, but I had to pretend. And the funny thing is we exchanged contact numbers and he was so humble, so down to earth and very respectful of the work we do as music compilers. Kinda, there was a time when you used to go drop off music.
Hey man, I was hustling, man. I was hustling. And this happened between 2011 and 2014 when I was running my own record company. I literally had to do everything myself, right? Running around, going to all different types of radio stations, you know, regionally and nationally. I met some amazing people, right? And I think that that was also a period where I got to really understand myself more, right? Mm. Because it's all these lessons that I've been taught, and now you have to put them into effect, right? And how you operate as a businessman. I think maybe I'm not such a great businessman because I'm not cruel. I'm too much of a nice guy. So I end up just giving people everything that they want instead of saying no.
Someone else also asked about your scene with Chris Brown.
Hectic.
How was that?
You know, that video keeps surfacing all the time. Just when I think, okay, that thing is done, and then somebody else brings it up. I think it was crazy. It was very crazy. And it is a true story that we were actually meant to do a collaboration. It's just that the timing of his trip in SA was quite short. So I had produced this beat. I had sent it over to his management. They loved it. They were like, okay, cool, we're going to do a remix to his track, which is Back to the Wall. I can't remember.
The listener here says it was Wall to Wall.
Wall to Wall. There you go. So we were meant to get into studio, do something. And then next thing, Chris Brown is being rushed back home. I can't remember what the emergency was. But yeah, it was a crazy time.
Bro, you were going to be like next level famous. You were gonna go overseas.
You'd be a good guy.
And perform with Chris Brown.
Crazy. Here's another WhatsApp.
Hi, Clement. You know what? I think Dini Angela should also be on radio or something like that, because wow, I think she's got the voice for it. She's obviously got the energy for it. I think she might just be what radio needs right now. The intellect as well is there, so positive. Why is she not on radio?
Why?
That's a tear. And I'm so emo. I'm legit gonna shed a tear. Yeah. Thank you. That's so nice.
Have you ever considered it?
I've considered everything. Mm. But I'm of the belief that, you know, there's certain people for certain things. Mm. I'm not knocking it. I can never knock anything that I've never tried.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to feel like I need to figure myself everywhere. Like if I feel like now, if I feel like now I've reached my cap in terms of my acting, it could be a space that I will explore. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Maybe I might find myself here one day. Mm. You know,
and doing... then there's podcasts too, right?
No, like even here, because now I get at like the international relations, what current affairs?
What the current affairs?
Yeah, I understand. Ngafi tamomu 702.
Love it.
Are the owners listening?
I'm joking.
Listen, here. Someone wants to know about the advice you have for children who are in the limelight. This is a parent who says the kid has done like a few stuff with magazines.
Mm.
What advice do you have for children who are coming into whether it's television, whether it's modeling?
I think maybe I'm not the best person to answer this question, because now I'm also a mom. And I know I would not.
You wouldn't do that.
Listen,
with your child.
I have those chats with my girl, and she'd be like, "Mommy," I'm like, "Nope, definitely not." And that's only because of my experience. And I also do understand that people's experiences are definitely different.
Mm.
I know that things have definitely changed so much in our industry, you know. But I think for me, my fear is always just allowing a child to be a child, you know, and not having that taken away from them. So I think, for any parent who wants to allow their child to get into the space, to remember that at the end of the day, mothola ke ngwana. You understand what I'm saying? So whatever role, be it big, small, or the other, I think the child must always remain a child.
Mm.
For as long as they are a child under your care, and you are the parent, go out, ask the questions. Where is my child? Who's on that set? How are things working? It's very important to be present and be aware and in the know of what is happening with your child. You know what I mean? I think that also will just allow you a sense of ease to know that, okay, maybe I didn't make such a bad decision, and this is a good space for my child to be in. Because I think, look, any child who can express themselves like that, special children, you know what I mean? And we all started there.
Mm.
So I think, just stay woke.
Your advice?
Yeah, so for me, it's like, firstly, congratulations for taking that, you know, making that bold move in terms of putting your child into this space. But I'm a firm believer in letting kids explore, right? Expose them to as many things as possible while they're still young, so that they can eventually make the decision for themselves, right? Don't pressure them into things that you wanted to achieve for yourself, because that's where it goes wrong, right? As long as you've created that, you know, safe environment for them, you've obviously brought them up well and giving them the right lessons, then it's fine. You know what I mean? Kids also understand when you give them responsibility, what they must do with it, right? As long as you're guiding them, right? So that's the only thing I can say is let them explore. Kids are explorative, and they are also grown-ups in their own sense. And you know what? Television, in fact, the media industry itself makes you grow up so fast. Right. By the time you know it, you are thinking like a 25-year-old.
That therein is my thing. And that's why I'm saying, Khori, it's so important to remember that a child must be a child. Because, Lynn, I'm thinking back to certain things that I would see on set, and I'd be like, are these people not aware that I'm here and I'm a child? What are they doing?
You must grow quickly.
You understand what I'm saying? So there's certain things that I would see, and then I'm like, now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, no, I wasn't supposed to see those things. I was a child. You understand what I'm saying? So it is important to just remember that
that child is a child. Yeah. Well, Sipongwe, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much, guys, for coming through.
Thanks for having us.
This was lovely. Thank you.